Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
Well, good morning. How we doing? Pretty good. We are, as you guys know, we've been in a series on the attributes of God. I'm calling it All of God, looking at a different attribute every week. And our goal for the whole series, as has been said multiple times, is to look at God as he reveals himself so that our hearts would be changed to worship. It's true if you go through the whole Bible that if a person comes in contact with the living God, there is no leaving unchanged. If you see God clearly, as Scripture has revealed him to be, there is no seeing God clearly and leaving unchanged. Or just, eh. We want that to be the case for us. That we see God clearly as he reveals himself to be, and we are left in awe and worship of our great God. So as we think about that this morning, we've been praying this really short prayer every week. I'm going to ask you to pray it again with me this week. Just a reminder of centering our hearts on what we're trying to do and be reminded of this morning. So pray this prayer with me. Lord, help me to know you in my mind and know you in my heart. Amen. This week, we're going to look at the attribute of patience, the patience of God. And I thought, what better place to start talking about patience than dealing with toddlers? I am in a current season where there's a lot of dealings with toddlers, and there's a lot of places you could start when talking about patience with toddlers, but I thought one of the best places, because it's happened multiple times this week, is when you're getting ready for bed and it's about time to head upstairs. It's a journey just to get them to the bottom of the stairs, but I want to talk about the very specific process that happens from the bottom stair to the top stair when getting to bed. Right? So they go up two stairs, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, there's this little crumb. Has this always been there? And then they go up two more stairs, and they're like, have we always had this sighting? And they go up two more stairs, and like, no, I didn't like how I went up those stairs. So they go down four stairs, and they want to climb five, and they go back and forth, and then finally they get all the way close to the top, and they just sit on the top stair. And you're like, oh my gosh. And my wife jokes with me because sometimes I get in this place of like almost commanding them like a dog. It's like, all right, let's go. Here we go. Come on. She's like, it's okay. Just let her get up the stairs. We're going to get there. But I am so impatient to get up the stairs. And I use that as a funny example this morning. First, to show this, my patience and your patience is not like the patience of God. And praise be to God that it's not. Right? We're going to look at many other examples of that this morning, but as we focus our discussion looking at the attributes of God and specifically patience this morning, there's three passages I want to talk through. And we're going to read all three passages here at the top, and then we'll use them throughout the sermon this morning. The first one is Exodus 34, 5 through 7. It says this, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" The second passage is 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." And then the last passage is 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9. "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The big idea we're trying to talk about and build this morning is this, that in Christ, your life and my life tell a story of divine patience. In Christ, your life and my life tell a story of divine patience, a story of a God that is patient with his people. So the first, we just want to ask a simple question. What is patience? What is patience? Well, I think it's been quoted that patience is a virtue. I think it's usually said that way because a virtue is something that you actually have to earn and learn, right? We don't just all of a sudden become patient. It's something that we earn and learn, right? And it's usually through something that's hard. I think about patience, and another way you could describe patience is long-suffering kindness. Long-suffering kindness. You could also say it's a way of waiting, a kind of waiting, patience. Waiting on a particular outcome, waiting for the right time to act, waiting for the sake of another's well-being. Patience and waiting. You know, I think sometimes with patience, you almost have to receive a trial, a test, a challenge, an injury, a wound, a reason to act or to not act, to know what patience is. Or if you have a plan or purpose from which you will not diverge, even if it gets difficult and seems like it's failing. Patience is needed. If we think about our own patience, how well do you grade? You know, I grade really well if I think about myself sitting on a beach and the waves are coming in and I have this sense of, man, I am a really patient person. But that's not usually true in many other aspects of my life. Trial, pain, suffering. How patient are you? You see, our patience or lack of it is usually seen as we endure trials, pain, and challenges. And what I'm trying to do first is to say, this is how we see patience. It's how we experience it, how we use it. And the beauty this morning is that God doesn't do any of that. He is so different than us in the way that he uses his patience. You see, our perspective on patience affects our view of God's patience. The length of time is different. The amount of time it takes me to get frustrated or angry, we're going to talk about that God is not like me. The reasons to be patient, the reasons to be impulsive, in my perspective, are not the perspective of God. If we're asking what patience is, there's probably no better place to start than to start with the perfect patience of God. You see, how do we know that God is patient? Well, we could just pause right here and say, he's God. Of course he's patient. He's perfect, which is true, and we could close it up here, and we could bring the band back out, and we could sing, and we could go home and just say, God is patient. But I think what we miss sometimes is to say, yes, he is patient. What are the depths and lengths of his patience towards you personally? As a child of God, as his people this morning. Therefore, of course, if he has patience, we want to dive in and see the beauty and awe of his patience. We know that he's patient because he's endured suffering. He's endured our sin. He's endured our rebellion. We know that he is long-suffering for his creation and the sin of his people. But we also see him as patient in his plans and his purposes. God doesn't overreact. He doesn't fly off the handle. He's not impulsive. He doesn't push when things don't need to be pushed. He is perfect in his patience, acting in his timing that is perfect. God is a God of perfect patience. We see him neither hurried nor in haste. We see him in full control of his timing and purposes. You know, I think one of the places you could see this, someone told me one time, it's like, if you read through the Gospels, was there ever a moment where Jesus was running? Like he needed to be somewhere and he was late. It seemed like he was always patient to be in the places he was in. I think we see this also in Exodus 34, one of our passages for this morning. I'm going to read it one more time. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Why does this passage show patience? Well, I think if I had you actually open your Bible and look at the context about where this passage falls in Exodus, you may start to get a little bit more of a picture of why is patience being shown here. God has called his people out of Egypt, right? The plagues, he's parted a Red Sea, he's provided for them. Moses has gone up on a mountain, there is lightning coming down, there is cloud, I mean, like majestic stuff. And the people show great patience. No. What do? They say, we can't wait for Moses to come down from this majestic moment, so we're going to build a golden calf. And we're going to worship that golden calf. Again, praise God that he is not like us. Then Moses comes down. He is distraught. He is sad. And this is God's response to his people. Merciful, gracious, slow to anger. Does not mean that he's not going to deal with the sin, but it means that he is going to be patient with his people in dealing with their sin. Could he in that moment in his justice made a different choice? Absolutely. And he did not. He was patient with his people. And I think Isaiah 55, 9, 8, and 9 tell this best when we think about the best news when it comes to patience and God relating to us and our ability to be patient. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is our God. The second point this morning is let's zero in a little bit more and continue to travel and see that God is not only patient, but he's specifically patient to his people. Imagine for yourself right now, you, God in heaven, looking down on your creation, how patient would you be with your people? And while you're assessing that, let's talk about a couple things maybe this week that happened as you were driving in the left-hand lane with someone going 40 on Bethelview. How was your patience this week? Or maybe you're in the grocery store checkout aisle and the lady in front of you is taking her time to put her groceries on the top. She's pulling out all her coupons. She forgot her member number. And now she's decided to talk about the 5 dogs she has at home with the cash register. How patient are you? God is not like us. And this is the best news. Remember, this series has the goal of inspiring awe and worship. We want to inspire this, that God is different than us, and that is a good thing for his people. That we want to worship a God who is God. And this God is patient with his people. A holy and righteous God, patiently enduring the sins of his people. The rebellion, the misuse of his creation, hatred of him, slander, mockery, the list goes on. Think about a holy God looking down on the creation that you live in day to day. What level of patience it must take him to endure. As we go through the Bible, we could do tons of examples of this, but I'm just going to give a couple singular examples of characters, people in the Bible who endured patience from God. God gave them patience. The first is Adam. In the garden, Adam chooses to take and eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what does God do? He doesn't say, I'm done. It's over. You're dead. He says, I'm going to send a Savior, and I'm going to be patient with you and offer a way for salvation still. Next, Noah. If you know the story of Noah, they think it took like 100 years to build the ark. For 100 years, God waited patiently before he sent the flood. Do you realize this? Noah, day after day, told people, God is going to send a flood. Return to him. Repent. Year after year, nothing. And as I said before, God is patient, but there is an end in his patience. And we think about Jonah. We don't have to rehearse Jonah, right? We know God was patient with Jonah. We've gone through the whole book over and over again. I mean, talk about a guy who needed patience. God looking towards Jonah. Then I think about Peter. If you guys were at Family Bible Camp thinking about Peter, how many times Jesus looked at Peter and goes, patience, patience, patience. And then I think about Paul. And that's our next passage for this section, is Paul seeing over his lifetime a God who has been patient towards him. 1 Timothy 1:15-16, Paul says this, the saying is trustworthy and true, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Paul's life tells a story of divine patience. How many years of hating, persecuting God's people? And then how many years after, when Paul continues to sin and to fall away as we do? Patience. What about your own story? You are the people of God, right? What is his patience towards you? Did you deserve patience in your rebellion and sin before you came to Jesus? No. Neither did I. Could God have struck me right where I stand in my own sin? Hatred of him? Yes. But he chose to wait and to be patient. I don't feel like sometimes I notice patience toward me until the season after it's being given. You ever think about this with patience? I think when someone's showing me patience, I don't realize in that moment that someone's actually showing me patience. Because usually I'm the one who thinks I'm right and they're wrong, and therefore, why would they be patient with me? Why are they being patient with me? Their patience toward me doesn't seem like patience. And I think the same can be true about God. That if not till seasons later that we look back over our life and realize, wow, that person, that guy, God was patient with me so often, over and over and over again. Our God is patient. He is long-suffering the rebellion of my and your hearts so that we might receive his patience as a grace to turn from sin and to turn in repentance, that we might come back home to the Father. I think about the story of the prodigal son really quickly is the story of patience as well, right? A son that takes everything, defames the father's name, runs out, completely spends it irresponsibly. And the father waits, and he waits, and he comes back, and in patience, he receives him and restores him. Is it not true, people, that he is a God of patience, that you can keep coming back because God is patient with you, even in your sin, even in your turning, even in your failure, God is patient with you to come back home and be restored in repentance. And point three, as we come kind of to the climax of patience, you have to think about the Prince of Patience, Jesus. Jesus' patience to endure a sinful world, to leave heaven, to take on flesh in this world. You imagine going from perfection to what we live in? The amount of patience, you think it's hard to have patience. Imagine knowing what perfect is in living here. And the patience with people, he was hated, misunderstood. His closest friends and family rejected him. Patience in relationship. Satan's temptation of him was take, take, take. Be impulsive. And Jesus chose patience. Not as I will, but as God wills. And last, the physical, emotional, relational, spiritual pain of the cross. The patience to endure all of it. To not call down angels to protect him, to take him off the cross as he was told to do. But patiently enduring. You know, I think about this too in a marriage sense. Stories like Hosea and Gomer, constantly running after someone who you knew is going to hurt you, but patiently loving them, restoring them, enduring the pain, the wound, the betrayal. All to show Christ's love for his bride, the church. And he said, I will be patient to my bride. Jesus will pursue her, love her, sanctify her in patience. In fact, I will sacrifice my life to be patient with you, to show you the length of my patience. In the cross of Christ, we can not only see God as patient, but how God can be so patient. For the believer, his patience is as long as Christ's blood will go, which is forever. So if you're a believer this morning, Christ's blood that goes forever is Christ's patience towards you. You may feel like Christ looks at you the way you look at yourself, which is with impatience, frustration, disappointment. The blood of Christ does not offer that for you. It actually offers patience to endure, to change, to become more and more like Jesus, knowing that you're still going to struggle with sin. It's the love of Christ. So what's our response? This God shows perfect patience, that in Christ our life tells a story of divine patience. What's our response? To come back to him, to repent, to obey, or maybe come for salvation for the first time. Do not presume on the patience of God. You do not know how many days you have in this life. If you sit in this room and you have breath this morning in your lungs, God has been patient to you. As he is offering his word, the opportunity to come back, do not presume on his patience, but accept it with thanksgiving and grace this morning to come to a Savior. The last passage, I think, is our response and a reminder as we close. 2 Peter 3:8-9 says this, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." I wanted to end here because I think it brings hope, but I also think it's sobering. It's a reminder to us as his people that his patience toward us that has brought us to repentance should turn our hearts in worship and thanksgiving. And if it has not done that in your heart, the patience of God has not actually turned you to him, this is a sobering reminder. God wants to offer repentance, the opportunity for you to come back to him, to place faith in Jesus, to say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Let me be very clear in speaking to those in the room that have not placed faith in Jesus and made him Lord of their life. Do not waste the patience of God towards you. You are sitting here this morning hearing the word of God and have a chance to repent. Do not waste the patience of God this morning. Now, if you're in here this morning, you have placed faith in Jesus. You are a follower of Jesus. I have two things for you in response to God's patience. The first is this: don't forget about the patience of God before you came to faith. To draw you, to pursue you in your sin. But also don't forget about the patience that's still with you today. Because there's not anyone in here that's perfect. God is still continuing in his patience to grow you, to sanctify you, to make you more like Jesus. He's still patient in that. The second thing is this: God's patience with you is as far as the blood of Jesus goes, which is forever. If you sit in here this morning discouraged, disappointed, thinking that God's patience has surely run out on me, you don't know my sin. You don't know how long I've struggled with this sin. You don't know how long. God's patience towards you is as long as the blood of Christ. He has not given up on you. He has not left. He is patient with you because of Jesus. Meaning there will not come a day when his patience and promises run out. His patience in your following him will reach all the way to the end. That he's faithful in his patience. So in Christ, our life tells a divine story of patience. Past, present, and future. May God's patience develop in us a worship and a thankfulness for who he is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you are a God unlike us, that you are patient towards your people. We want to praise that name, the name we said at the very beginning that is worthy of our praise. Thank you for loving us, even in our sin and rebellion. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we move to communion, I want to give you a chance to pause for a second in reflection from this morning and to reflect on two things. One, a chance for you to just pause and give thanks for God who has been patient with you. And two, to not presume on that patience this morning, but to come in repentance, to be restored, that prodigal son, father, to come home. To enjoy the patience that has been given to you and to return to relationship with Jesus this morning out of your sin. Reflect on both of those things and I will close us in prayer in a second. Father, we thank you that you have wiped away our sin in Jesus. Lord, that we are as white as snow, that you have separated our sin from us as far as the east is from the west, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that you are patient with us this morning. Lord, we thank you for the time. We pray that you would change us, that you would challenge us this morning, and that you would continue to remind us that in your patience that we can return back to our Father. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.